الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما وقال تعالى ولا تمش في الأرض مرحا وقال تعالى وتلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين صدق الله العظيم. We seek help and beseech Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow His guidance upon us and benefit upon us from uttering whatever words for His pleasure we utter and listen, and enable us to practice with sincerity. Because knowledge and ilm without practice and sincerity becomes a punishment and an azab for a person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make prayers, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from such knowledge which is not beneficial. Ilm illa yanfa, knowledge which is not beneficial. Which is the knowledge which does not benefit? When a person does not practice it, or if he does practice it, he is doing without sincerity. Sincerity means, you are here, I am here, we do good deeds now and then, although our good deeds are also, they lack and do not deserve to be presented to Allah Azza wa Jal. Sincerity means that what is the motive behind whatever you are doing as a good deed in this life, or now, or tomorrow, or yesterday, you've done. The motive behind. So a deed might look very good, an amal look very good, your prayer, your salah, your tabligh, your propagation of your reciting the kalima is a great blessing. But if the motive is something else, either it's money, or it is praise of people, or it is glorification, or if it is an ego trip, then actually that amal is also, not only it's not beneficial, but it's turned against a person, and on the day of judgment, a person will be punished due to praying such prayer, or actually uttering such words. So we seek refuge and protection in Allah Azza wa Jal from our amal even, and the blemishes and the contamination it contains. But yes, one should try. The awliya Allah and saliheen and righteous people, they were so scared and fearful of their amal, that their motive might not be the correct. You see, it is so easy for shaitan to just to put a thought in your mind and your motive changes. You stood for the Allah Azza wa Jal, you gave charity for Allah Azza wa Jal, and now a person, just a thought comes that people will think I am very charitable, I am very generous, there your reward goes. One of the scholars of Islam in Indian subcontinent, Hazrat Mujaddad Maulana Imam Tahanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said that I went to visit someone, and the head of the household instructed his son or his khadims and servants, jo nokar the uske, unhone usse kaha ki that could you bring that cup which I brought when I went on fifth time on Hajj 2 years ago? Could you bring that cup and we would like actually to give the water or to serve in that cup? So Hazrat said, فرمایا کہ اس نے اپنے حج کا ثواب ضائع کر دیا, that he actually just wasted his time. That is why Hazrat Nizam al-Din Awliya رحمت اللہ علیہ, when someone asked him that when people go on Hajj, like now many people will be going on Hajj and Umrah etc., that why is it that some people when they come back from Hajj, وہ جب حج سے واپس آتے ہیں, they do more bad deeds than even before. If they were doing something good, they leave that. Or some people, obviously changes. Some people changes. But you will find such people that who have, let's say, one shop of alcohol off license, and when they come back, they open another one. That is true. It happened many times. Or they are going there, and after they come back, they maybe open a restaurant with off license or something like this. So people wonder, the why, it is a strange thing. Now this person has gone on Hajj, and after he comes back, he has become more away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he is doing more dubious and evil and sinful deeds. But ye bahut se log Hajj se wapas aake pehle se bhi bure kyun ho jate hain? Halanki unko acha banna chahiye. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Alayhi said that there are several reasons. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, Mahbub-e-Ilahi, was such a person, and other Awliya Allah as well, that even Hindus now visit his grave and they pay their respect to him. You see, this Hindu of a very fundamentalist Hindu political party, Bharatiya Janata Party, Mr. Advani, who is very extremist type person, I mentioned to you that he visits the mazar or the shrine, the grave of Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya very regularly. And people ask to him that why is it that you are against the Muslims so much? And this is a saintly person who was a Muslim and you are visiting and paying respect. Aap unka adab ehtiram karte hain, ye to musalman the aur aap to musalmanon ke bahut khilaf ho. You are against the Muslim. He said that he was not like the Muslims of now. My father and to him, my forefathers, they were telling, they have told us that this person, when he came into India, when he was living in India, when he never abhorred or hated any person as such on personal grounds. And even Hindus, other people who were living of other religions, they would come to his majlis and he will embrace them, he will honor them, he will let them sit, he will love them and will become generous to them. And now the Muslim, the ideology of the Muslim has become that they want to kill Hindus, they want to kill other people. But this is not the instruction of Islam, because there are such pagans or Christians, as such Christians and Jewish people and tribes who still live in Arabian Peninsula and in the near Saudi Arabia and in other some of the states and the part of Saudi Arabia where they still live since the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. At his time they were living and now they are living as well. This means that they never were forced to accept the religion of Islam, nor they did by their willingness. So Islam is not about killing people, it is about actually submitting to the will of Creator and also serving the creation, meaning physically and spiritually. Physically, you can serve the creation with food and other their basic needs, which they deliver, and spiritually to give them the message of the Spirit, message of the Ruh, which is the message of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Deen. If someone is attacked, obviously they have to defend, so that is a different matter. But this is not the was not the approach of Sufiyai Karam and Ahlullah and Awliya Allah. That is why so millions and millions of Hindus, they turned into Muslims. In Bangladesh, there were always the Hindus living, very few Muslims. So they all turned into some were other religions, but they became now, many of you are from Indian subcontinent. Indian subcontinent includes Pakistan, Bangladesh, India. So they are Muslims now, alhamdulillah, millions and millions of people. So they turned into, would you think if Nizamuddin Awliya came into India and said that all you Hindus, you do not deserve to live on the face of the earth, and tomorrow I am going trying to, with my followers, try to invade and kill you because you are non-Muslims. Do you think they would have accepted Islam in such a way? No, he did not come with sword and anything. And all other people, politically, like in India, be it India or Pakistan, or these are, you may say, secular states, they are not interested in a person, the well-being of a person or the success in the hereafter. All they want is actually ego and chair and prime ministership or actually presidentship. They are not driven by the pleasure of Allah. That's why there is fasad, that's why there is disruption, that is why there is no law, there is no order, and people are coming far and far further away from Allah Azza wa Jal. While the government, whose responsibility was like a father to a family, like that, when they become dubious, when they become contaminated, when their motives change, they just actually, then all people suffer. So whatever good exists, it is individual organizations, individual people, they are doing something good. But these people, no matter where they are, if they are not implementing the laws of Allah while they can, they are very sinful. You see, here people say that there should be an Islamic government. Here there are non-Muslims living. You have come into a Christian country and you came on the Mu'ahida. When you come, you make a covenant with them that I will live with peace. And I will live with peace and will not cause any chaos. Now you are bound by that Mu'ahida. If you do not want to live in as such, don't do this Mu'ahida and you won't enter. But once you have done the Mu'ahida covenant, then no matter what happens, you are not allowed to actually cause any mischief or harm to any person whatsoever. And if you look at the documents when people get nationality and etc., what they say? No matter they swear by a God or not, that's not important in that manner. When you do a covenant, even you mention the name of Allah or do not mention the name of Allah, when you say that I will abide by this, you are bound by that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two companions, they were migrating from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, and they were caught by the non-Muslim army, Abu Jahl and all these people. These two companions, they said that, free us, we will give you such and such wealth. We will give you wealth and we have such and such property in Makkah. We will tell you where it is and you can have it. Free us. We will not fight against you. They said, we'll free you, but you don't fight against us. They said, okay, we will not fight against you, just free us. You are two people, companions, strong, very well people, very sound people, mature people. They came to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, few weeks after the Battle of Badr came, the time of Battle of Badr came. Now, they told Rasulullah ﷺ that that's what happened, and Prophet ﷺ said, okay. Now, when the time of Badr came, you know, people who have little bit of studied even, that Muslims were in less numbers, but a few in number, meaning over 300, even 313 or so on. And the non-Muslims, they were 1,000. So there was a clash of army, which is three times more in number, as well as the arsenal and the swords and other things which are used in the war weaponry, that also existed very, you must say, it was prevailing there in the non-Muslim army. Everyone had sufficient weaponry, and in Muslim army they should maybe few swords, few horses, even few swords in 330, few horses. Now how dire need was there for people when there were only 330? How badly the Muslim army needed people. Now these two people came and they said, we will also join, because how could they sit there when they saw Rasulullah going in the war and fighting in the battlefield? How could they sit there? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we will also go and fight in the Battle of Badr. Prophet said, you have done a promise or a contract or a muahida, a covenant with the non-Muslim, with Abu Jahl, and all, that you will not fight. That you will not fight. So now you are not allowed to fight. You stay here in Medina. Imagine, they knew that how badly people were required and how their hearts were actually, you may say, exploding, that how can they be there while they see the Muslims, few in number, fighting in the Battle of Badr. But to those two companions, Rasulullah said, that you have done a muahida, although they are enemy. Abu Jahl is the enemy of Allah. And others are enemy. They are going to fight. Muslims might be martyred, but you are not allowed to fight because you have done a muahida. So this is what Rasulullah told. This is the teaching of Prophet. So people who come here, or they go anywhere, wherever they go, in Saudi Arabia they go, or in Bangladesh they go, when you have done a muahida, when you have done a covenant with someone, either don't do it if you don't want, no one is forcing you to accept a nationality of a country or to do a muahida. If you do, then you have to abide by it. No matter they are non-Muslim, but your status is as a refuge. No matter you come, say, I am independent. The government says you are independent, but your status is that you have been given a refuge here actually to live and stay. So I'm just giving you the example that the governments, they work on their own rules and own their motives. People have their own rules and regulations. But especially these governments in our countries, they have Islam, Muslim, still the British law, they are actually, it is activated, or you may say implemented, and the courts decide by the British law. In India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, 99% they are following the British law. They have not even come up with their own law in 50 years or so or more. They are still following that. So no one is forcing them actually to do that. What they are doing. And whoever will not have sincerity and will not be purified, they will do wrong things. Like, for example, many of you might not know that when in 1947 or 48, that Bangladesh was a part of Pakistan and they were both Pakistan, now there became an election. Now, in the election, that whoever is going to be a president. In the election, like there's an election between two parties and opposition. The candidate which was living in Bangladesh, he had more votes than the candidate living in the West Pakistan and the East Pakistan. So the candidate living in Bangladesh, he had more votes in the election. Obviously, election is not, but I'm just giving you an example. He had more votes, so he was the winner, or you may say the prime minister of both East and West. Now the political parties in the West, they said, no, we do not accept. If they have won, we will actually say that, no, we are on this side and you are on that side. That's what happened. And they did zulm and oppressed each other like even non-Muslim would not do. Indian oppressing the Muslims there, the Muslims oppressing the Indian Hindus, the Sikhs, and the people from the East, they are oppressing. But that was their reality. But they want to rule. So it is history, it is known by the candidate in Bangladesh, he had more votes, he won. And the people in the East, West Pakistan, they just did not accept it. The political parties or whoever the leader was, they said, no, no, I want to be leader. How can I be a leader if I can? So then there was a separation. So these people are not even, when even their family matter come, they will sacrifice their family, they will kill anyone for just to actually be on the top of the seat. So I was saying to you that these matters, the personal motive, that is very important. That why you are doing something, and Allah Azza wa Jal judges people by that. And the first hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Imam Bukhari commends that hadith with the innamal amalu bin niyyah. That the amal, the practices, they're all based on intentions and motives. What is sincerity? The good motive you should have for that we are doing for Allah Azza wa Jalla, because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala commands, not for any other incentive you have in that. So Imam Bukhari mentioned this first hadith that even a person say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, but the motive is not Allah, it is not for Allah, it's acceptable as well. Like the munafiqeen in Madinatul Munawwara, they said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They were reciting this kalima. Munafiqeen, they were reciting the kalima, they were praying the prayer, the salah, salawat and salah, they were offering the salah, they were doing all other things. But how were they known they are munafiqeen? When it came to give money for the deen of Allah, like aapko kahun ke paison ki zarurat hai. You say it's very well doing zikr, but this money matter I cannot do. That's what the munafiqeen did. And because they were dealing with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they became out of Islam. Now, you don't become out of Islam, but it shows the hypocrisy in amal, indeed. When there was a time of war, to do a jihad, and everyone came, Ya Rasulullah, said, my wife is ill and sick, I'm very, very sad. I said, my children actually are ill. Ya Rasulullah, my business will go bust actually if I go on war. And Prophet ﷺ accepted whatever they said, in spite of knowing that they are lying. But it was the generosity and good character and good nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah unke uzr qabool farmate, and they were better. Now as well, you find people, if you ask them why you are not praying, they will say, oh, I went to this appointment. If a person commits a sin, instead of accepting that I have done something wrong, I didn't want to do it, but something happened and this person came and I was put in this situation, etc., etc. Meaning, they want to put blame on something else. No matter it is a living thing or non-living thing, it doesn't matter. But blame should be somewhere else, not on me. So now as well, people, when it is asked for actually to help the deen of Allah, to give the to call people to Allah Azza wa Jal, and to spend your time and your wealth and money for deen, and if a person withdraws, he should know that he has an element of nifaq. In there. So munafiqeen, they were very well doing everything, doing zikr, salah, etc., and sitting with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and discussing matters, etc. But whenever time of sacrifice, they just turned away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran as well. So by keeping all these things in mind, I mentioned to you that we will read and recite some ahadith regarding tawadu and in Kisari and Ajazi. So inshallah, I will just recite some ahadith to you and comment on that as well. Sayyida Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha says, Sayyida Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha farmati hai ki Hazrat Usama دروازے کی چوکھٹ سے ٹھوکر کھا گئے. That Usama bin Zaid was the Zaid was sold as a slave to Rasulullah SAW, and Usama was his son. So they, and he was a young boy, and living, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was also a young age at that time. So, and Rasulullah SAW kept this slave who then was known as Zaid bin Muhammad, meaning like his son, that when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala donated this slave to Rasulullah SAW, Hazrat the Zaid, when the parents they came to know that Rasulullah, that our son, our little son, have been sold as a slave, have been kidnapped. So he was not. They were a good, honorable family and a good, from good tribe. But he was kidnapped and sold as a slave, and they came to know that he went to Rasulullah. So they came and visited Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, we have come to know that this our son is living with you as a slave, and we want to pay ransom, whatever money is required, and we want to take our son back." And Rasulullah said, "It is up to you. There is no force. I do not ask any ransom. Call Zaid and you can take him." They were very happy, the uncle, the mother, the father, they were very happy that such a good person, or he had such a good dealing, they had, that they even do not have to pay one penny or one dirham for that. And Hazrat Zaid was playing around, and he came, and Rasulullah called him, "Zaid, come here. Look, this is, so many months has passed, or year passed, he never saw his parents. Imagine that how the child feels when he sees parents. He was kidnapped, oppressed, and abused, and then sold in labor, and then now he sees his parents, and he comes, and he saw his mother sitting there, father sitting there, uncle sitting there, mamu sitting there, and other people of tribe. He comes running and sits on the lap of Rasulullah SAW. He does not go to his mother. He does not go to his father. He does not go to his young child. And Rasulullah SAW said, "Zaid, this is your parent, and they want to take you, and you can go with them." So his parents said, "Yes, Zaid, come," and they embraced him, "that we have come, and you are very lucky that you are in the house of such a person, that who has so high morals and character and values, that come and let's go." So Zaid came back, he withdrew himself and came back and sat with Rasulullah. He said, "Zaid, do you not want to come with us?" He said, "No. I will visit you. You are my parents. But the love and the tenderness which I got from this house, from this person, this blessed Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, I have lived with you, and I have seen the love of the mother. I have seen and experienced the love of father and love of family. But it is not comparable to love of this person, which is known as Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So his parents, it's a long story, but his parents were not able to take him. He didn't want to go. They asked him, even asked him, "Yes, you must go. If there's any pressure of him." He said, "No, I'm not going." So he said, that was the moral behavior, or you may say, of Rasulullah with slaves. With some people would not treat their son or their daughter or their brothers like this. So he was the Usama, which is mentioned here, was the son of Hazrat Zaid, this person. So Zaid all his life lived with Rasulullah. And then Prophet himself married him as well, and he had a son called Usama. So Usama was young, dark colored, aapka rang kala tha. And at that time, when Hazrat Aisha says that Hazrat Usama darwaze ki chokar se thokar kha gaye, he hurt himself on the side of a door. So he was running around and playing, and he banged his head, and the blood began to pour out and flow out of his head. So Usama ke, छोटे बच्चे थे, 8-9 साल उम्र थी आपकी. So the blood was coming out. Jiski wajah se unki peshani zakhmi ho gayi, his head became wounded in his face. Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne farmaya, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there and he said, Aisha, Aisha, uske khoon ko saaf karo. Cleanse his blood. Cleanse his wound. Uske khoon ko saaf kar de. And Aisha said that I was also young. I hesitated. I've heard that he was son of a slave, she said. He was black in color and the blood was coming out. So he hesitated that I should actually clean this young boy. Like nowadays, people do not consider others as their own daughters and son. Us kaam se ghin kar gayi, I was hesitant to do it. Hazrat Aisha farmati hai, Sayyida Aisha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam unki peshane ke khun ko chuste aur usko thook dete. Aur aap farma rahe the that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself bent near to Hazrat Usama, young boy. And Prophet ﷺ, with his blessed mouth actually, sucked his blood for the wound was such actually, and was spitting it on the side, and was washing. Unke peshane ke khoon ko chuste aur usko thook dete. Aur aap farma rahe the, and at the same time he was saying that if Usama was a girl, agar Usama ladki hote, to main unko kapde pehnata, unko zevar pehnata, unki shaadi karke rukhsati karta. That if Usama was a girl, I would have bought good clothes for him, very attractive clothes for her, and would buy jewelry for her, and would actually marry and unki rukhsati karta and to a good household. And so these were the words, and other words as well, Rasulullah uttered at that time. So this was Hazrat Aisha saying. Now imagine that this is the character or behavior of Rasulullah with those people who are looked down upon in society. So, aap sab is tarah farmaye. And then Hazrat Ata bin Yasar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ فرماتے ہیں, he says that when we Hazrat Usama کو بن زیاد کو جب یہ شروع میں مدینے آئے, that when in the beginning Rasul with the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم he came to مدینہ المنورہ, he migrated as well, چیچک نکل آئی. چیچک کہتے ہیں measles. He had measles, جو بچوں کو ہو جاتا ہے, everyone can catch that. So he had measles, ان کی رینٹ بہ کر منہ پر آ جاتی, and his nose will he had a running nose. Once he had measles, young boy, and he has measles, and plus his, جس طرح بچوں کی ہو جاتی ہے, that the nose running, and it would spread on his face. As a young boy, Hazrat Aisha رضی اللہ تعالیٰ says that I used to see and not like that, the measles he had on his body, and then his nose was also flowing, and mouth was being contaminated or soiled with the running nose. But that was the household, that was in the house of Hazrat Aisha. And Rasulullah ﷺ obviously went outside for prayers and other matters, jihad. But she says that whenever Rasulullah ﷺ came back or inside the house from outside, جب بھی آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم باہر سے اندر تشریف لاتے, جب رسول اللہ علیہ وسلم کیم انسائڈ, whenever he used to come inside, and in those days he saw the measles and his nose running, no one's cleaning, and when Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم came, تو آپ ان کے چہرے کو دوتے اور بوسا لیتے. تو حضرت عائشہ نے عرض کیا کہ خدا کی قسم, اس کے بعد میں نے ان سے کبھی بھی گھن نہ کروں گی. جیسے when رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم came and he entered the house, he would firstly wash Hazrat Usama's face and then kiss his face. And then Hazrat Aisha said that I swore by the name of Allah that I will never have any feelings of dislikeness from this disease or Hazrat Usama. So yeah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ka ikhlaq, that was the behavior. So this is the status of Muslim actually. Yeh Musalman ka muqam hai. مسلمان کی عزت جو ہے وہ اتنی ہے. Now imagine this is a young boy, and رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said that whoever does not have mercy upon our young and does not respect our elders, he is not amongst us. So this is being shown here. یہاں اس طرح کرنا. Do we also behave with people like this that aside our slave, the people who were slaves, do we behave like with independent, normal Muslims or other as such? Hamara bhi is tarah ka hai, ikhlaq ya. So this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine that scenario, the environment, the scene, that when the Prophet entered, he would actually clean his face. Aap jo bhi gand hota usko dhote, unko bosa lete jaate. That is the reason why Zayd refused. We don't even know what kind of love he got from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But these are such glances of his son, what Hazrat Zayd's son got from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the type of thing even parents maybe cannot give that kind of love. So after some jab bhi aate the son. And Hazrat Urwa farmate hain, Hazrat Urwa says radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne bidane irfaat se kooch karne mein Hazrat Usama bin Zayd ki wajah se der kar di. That at the time of Hajj, when Prophet went on Hajj, to bidane irfaat, people stay in the irfaat, it is first to go there and stay there for some time. Now people go into the Hajj and stay in Medani Arfat, the field of Arfat. There Rasulullah was there. So people have to, there's a time that when you have to leave that place and to go to the next stage of the Hajj or the posture of Hajj. Hazrat Usama was not there. So Usama, Hazrat Usama, as a young boy, he also went with Rasulullah for Hajj. Imagine he would have said in Madinatul Munawwara when Prophet ﷺ was traveling that Ya Rasulullah sallam, he was in the household, I also want to go on Hajj. Now there are so many other people who are going, his family, Prophet ﷺ's household, and he, a young boy, son of a slave, free slave, he is there and he said, I want to go. And Prophet ﷺ took him with him there and he stayed with Prophet ﷺ wherever he went. So at that time, he went here or there, he was lost, he was not there at the time of leaving the Maidan-e-Arafat. So aap udhar nahi the, Hazrat Usama udhar nahi the, to aap unka intezar, aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam unka intezar kar rahe the, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was waiting for Hazrat Usama. So people were there, came from all around Arabia, thousands and thousands of people. So who is it Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is waiting for? So they, soon after, थोड़ी देर बाद उन्होंने देखा एक लड़का आया, वन यंग बॉय केम, जो चपटी नाक और काले रंग, ब्लैक कलर विद का था, अहले यमन बोले, पीपल हु केम फ्रॉम यमन, सो ही वाज अ ब्लैक कलर यंग बॉय, सो पीपल हु केम फ्रॉम यमन दे सेड कि इस वजह से हम लोग रोके गए थे, इज इट फॉर हिम दैट वी ऑल वी आर वेटिंग or we've been kept waiting for this young black boy that the Prophet of Allah was waiting for him, that all people are kept because no one is moving because Prophet ﷺ is there. Hazrat Urwa kehte hain ki isi kehne ki wajah se ahle Yaman us ladke ke bare mein kafir ho gaye. He said that because of this, after some time people of Yaman, they became kuffar. Ibn Sa'd kehte hain ki maine Yazid bin Harun, I asked Yazid bin Harun, what did Hazrat Urwa meant when he said that these people became disbelievers? So what happened was, now this is a very other interesting story. Okay, what happened was that at the 9 Hijra, Ghazwa-i Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk, after that battle, Rasulullah ﷺ became ill and he fell ill, and people thought that he's going to die and they're going to. So in Yemen, there was a very shrewd person, sharp type of person, very deceptive type of person. His name was Aswad. And what he did in Yemen, in Sana'a, he said that I am also the Prophet of Messenger of Allah. Rasulullah is on his deathbed. And he heard that Prophet ﷺ is very he's ill. And in Yemen, it's far away from Medina to Munawwara, it's down south in Yemen. So he said, Aswad al-Ansi said that I am Messenger of Allah, and he used to say many things that I know this, and like he had Jinnat and Shayateen with him, and some of his disciples, they became impressed. He was very, as I said, a shrewd person, and with their evil nature. So he said, I am the messenger of Allah. And he said to Rasulullah sallallahu that let's divide the area. That you are the messenger of that area and I am messenger of that. And let's come together on this. So he said very foolish and stupid things like this. Now, vast majority of people living in Yemen, they became believers of him. They became apostates, who kufar bange. They said, this is messenger. You see, people are very, very, when they do not have the right beliefs, really. These people saw Rasulullah sallallahu in spite of that, actually, they became non-Muslim. So, it is not a strange thing if someone is not acting upon Islam nowadays. You see, it is not about being in that time or not being in that time. People who will act, they will act now as well. Who are not going to practice, they will be on that time. Like Aswad al-Ansi, who was a Muslim, who accepted Islam, and then he became, said, I am the Prophet of Allah. I am the Messenger of Allah. And through his disciples and through his some of the jinnat, he got some of the news and what people did, and fortune telling, and he would tell and perform magical tricks and things like this, and people became impressed. As I said to you, that people become impressed with these supernatural some things which magicians and other amaleen they do. And one should never be impressed. You should look at the Iman and Mal-e Saliha and the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Someone is steadfast, that is the greatest karamat. There is no more karamat greater than Iman and good deeds and acting upon the Sunnah of Rasulullah. That is the greatest karamat which anyone can acquire. That's what Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah said and Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah said. It is story narrated regarding both of them, the same similar story. That someone came and to visit Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he thought, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah has heard that he is a righteous man and he is a great wali. When he came, as you know, that obviously awliya Allah, they do not have badges or horns on their head which will say that they are walis of Allah or anything like this. They will be people, normal people living and humble people and not anything like what people think. But following Allah and His Messenger. So he came and sat in the majlis of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani. At that, on those days, they were the last days of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was blessed with great amount of physical and materialistic wealth as well. He became so rich that it's unimaginable. That millions, and he was a millionaire at that time. International businessman at that time. So when he came, he saw the palace of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah sitting there. And he saw his clothes very expensive. So, you know, this person, whatever people say, maybe it's true or not true, but I don't think this person is friend of Allah. He's living like this, etc., etc. So, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah was there, and he lived few days in the Khanqah with Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, but he was not convinced that he is the Wali of Allah. Because he was looking for like a supernatural phenomena or some activity like that. If can he walk on the fire? Well, you see Muslim and non-Muslims here doing tricks, and you know that live you because you live here, or you, that walking on coals, it is not a matter of supernatural thing. It is just controlling of the mind, and people do it as a leisure activity when they are going on picnics, etc. Like they play football and they play other things, and they also have a leisure time that we will walk on a fire. There's a technique that you walk on the fire with barefoot and nothing happens. People do now as well. Every day they are doing. So it's not, but people are, normal people, they are looking for these things. But these things are not the proof of anything whatsoever. So he lived few days, and then he did not ask about the zikr of Allah, that I want to zikr, etc. He was just observing. And then he said, last day when he was going back, he said, Assalamu alaikum, Hazrat Sahib, I am going back now. Now, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah was a man of insight. So he said that you have come and you have lived here for some time, and so many days, and without asking anything, you are going back. You are going back without asking anything. People come, thousands of people come, they ask things and they ask questions, they learn the zikr of Allah, the closeness to Allah, and you have not said anything as such. He said, yes, I was also thinking that I came, but the standard which I have, on that standard, I don't think you are a wali of Allah. He said, what is your standard? What is your criteria? He said that my criteria is that actually that I have never seen in these days some kind of supernatural thing happening. You tell me reading minds of other people, or walking on the air, or walking on fire, or anything. So Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi said that during your stay with me here, day and night, have you seen any action I have performed which was against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, that is true, that I have not seen that. I have not seen any action against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani said that this is the greatest karamat of Abdul Qadir. Abdul Qadir ki sabse badi karamat ye hai ke wo agar wo, that this is the real karamat, that 7 days, 10 days you have been with me and you have not seen me going against the messenger, the sunnah of Messenger of Allah in any act or deed. So for my, ye meri sabse badi karamat hai. There are other karamat, limitless karamat of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah. لیکن آپ نے فرمایا کہ اصل کرامت یہ ہے کہ اللہ کے رسول کے نقش قدم پہ چلنا, فالوئنگ دا فٹ اسٹیپس آف پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سو دس اسود دی فالس کلیمنٹ آف پروفیٹ ہو سیٹ آئی ایم دی پروفیٹ آف اللہ اینڈ اشٹ پیپل. سو دس از واٹ از ریفرنگ ٹو حضرت یزید اسامہ بن زید اینڈ حضرت عروہ سنگھ, that these people who came from Yemen, he was connecting it with that they belittled Hazrat Usama, they belittled him and said, oh, it is for this black young boy people are waiting. And they said because of this saying they lost their iman. Although the reason also, there were some other reasons, that there was Aswad al-Ansi there who said, I am from, but he said the reason underlying this, it is this. So that is why the awliya Allah say, the righteous say that a person who disrespects Salihin and the elders and Muslim, awliya Allah, Salihin and scholars, he follows them or not is a different matter. But who disrespects and dishonors them, he can be deprived of iman in one way or the other. Usko wo iman se mahroom ho jayega. Jo gustakhi karega Allah ke waliyon ki, Allah ke nek bande ki, wo iman bhi uska, it can be possible that he will be deprived of iman. So this happened to these people. They came and they became and they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were doing Hajj, but they belittled one Muslim. Ek Muslim unhone looked down upon. Oh, what is this? But you don't know what this young black boy, his status is with Allah Azza wa Jalla. He is beloved of Messenger of Allah. Definitely he is beloved of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he is a Muslim. That is not a criteria to judge anyone on his color, on his financial status, on with his job, or anything whatsoever. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah SAW said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْذِرُ, Allah does not look at, in one hadith, إِلَى سُوَرِكُمْ, on how you look, your physical outlook. وَعَمَالِكُمْ وَعَمْوَالِكُمْ, and your wealth. وَلَكِنْ يَنْذُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ, this saying of companion, that Allah looks at your hearts and your amal, not your amal means the deeds, not your maal ko nahi, not wealth but amal, and niyatikum, and your intention, as he says, your motives. He does not look this person, how is this person, because Allah himself has created, you have nothing in there. If you look beautiful or handsome, what good you have done. But yes, if you do a good deed from your own intention and your will, yes, something you have done by your freedom of will. So when this person, at the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr, then Hazrat Abu Bakr, Rasulullah SAW passed, Prophet SAW is dunya se tashreef le gaye, zahiri taur pe, and then this person was still saying, I am the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. Hazrat Abu Muslim Khawlani At-Tabi of that time, he was a great Tabi living in Yemen as well. So, no one was challenging him, because whoever did not believe him, he tortured him to death. He tortured him to death. He will burn them, he will kill them, cut them into pieces. Woh unko maar deta, jo bhi uski baat nahi sunta. Unko maar, finish. Hazrat Abu Muslim Khawlani, rahmatullah alayhi, was a great Tabi and a Muslim of that time. We never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that respect. These people who became apostates, they have seen Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one stage. But this person have not seen. But he was very strong Muslim. So, he said that you are false. And the disciples of Aswad al-Ansi, this false prophet, they said that, yes, more people will believe in you if Abu Muslim Khawlani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Shaykh Abu Muslim, believe in you, then more people, because people respect him very much. So he called Hazrat Abu Muslim Khawlani. And he said to, there's a long story, inshallah I will mention to you another day, about how Hazrat Abu Muslim. But eventually Hazrat Abu Muslim Khawlani radiallahu rahmatullah alayhi and radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was called and he said, do you believe in me? He said, no, I do not believe in you. You are a false prophet. Aap jhoote nabi ho. Mujhe kaha main aag mein phenk dunga. I will throw you in fire. Farmaya, the fire of the hell, if I can be freed from the fire of hell by going in this fire, it is very cheap. Farmaya, if I can be save myself from the fire of hell by going in this fire, I will be very happy to go in this fire. But I am not going myself. You have to. So he instructed his followers that throw Abu Muslim Khawlani into the fire. So that Abu Muslim Khawlani, rahmatullah alayhi, was thrown into the fire, and they were looking. You see, they said that this was a strong man, and what happened to him? People followed him, and he did not believe. He is also burned. So whoever will not, people became more fearful. Ah, ye to bada masla. Nowadays, we are very, you see, little bit of financial incentive, our imams can actually tremble. Little bit of a matter of fear, we say, oh, I have to go there, prayers, qaza ho gayi, bas khatam. And one said, these type of person, that who say that I will go in fire, but I am not going to actually disobey the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So strong iman is shown at the time of fear and at the time of happiness. At the time of when a person is in a problem, and a time of fear and in time of happiness. That's where a person's iman comes out. What level of iman is there? While normally everyone is happy, you are happy, I am happy, going on. But if fear comes, that someone says this will happen, you can go in jail, you can go in the prison. This can happen to you somewhere. You can be harmed if you don't do this. Then if you are. Or happiness, yet you become a millionaire or anything like this. Or something happens. And then how you stay, what you do, that will be your test. Or a time of problem, jab koi masla pareshani aaye. You see, many people are righteous in normal circumstances. When in a problem and come, they lose everything. It doesn't. They are completely different people. Maybe the side which I am showing you here, I am here. You are seeing me one side of me, but the other side, which Allah Subhanahu wa Taala knows, is something else. It's the other side of the coin. We are showing to each other everything is right, good, and well, but the side which Allah Subhanahu wa Taala knows. If that comes in front of Allah, then actually things will be completely different. So Hazrat Abu Muslim, after they thrown him in fire, and very big fire, and people were weeping and sad, oh, this has happened, now we had at least one strong Muslim, he's also being thrown in fire. As they were talking and he was boasting, look what happened and I did, they saw Hazrat Abu Muslim coming out of the fire. Aap aag se bahir aa rahe the. Aap bahir se aa rahe the. And it was as he has been walking in a garden or something. Aap bahir aa rahe the. Now, Everyone was confounded and eyes wide open, and Aswad Ansi, the false prophet, actually, was also looking, wow, what happened, etc. You see, because the falsehood is very weak. When something goes wrong, they are very covered people, because the inside, they know they are not true. So only on the outside they are doing. So when something happens which shatters their outside as well, inside is already gone. Inside to pehle hi chali gayi hai. When outside also they experience something, then completely they melt away. So Hazrat Abu Muslim, then Hazrat Abu Muslim, people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, they became back to Islam again. وہ اسلام میں واپس آئے ان کو دیکھ کے. تو آپ نے فرمایا کہ یہی, he did not claim I am wali or anything like this etc, but he said that the Islam is the true religion. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he throwed me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me. But that's it. آپ باہر آگے. And then he said that I have a wish. Inshallah, I will read his life story to you sometime. He said, I have a wish that I want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he began to travel towards Madinatul Munawwara. So, aap Madina ki taraf safar kar rahe the, and during the journey, he heard this sad news that Prophet ﷺ has passed away. So now, imagine a person being just a matter of days, and he was so close to Prophet ﷺ, such a strong iman, but never seen Rasulullah ﷺ physically. Now he was traveling to Prophet ﷺ, and Prophet ﷺ passed away. When this news came, he was now very sad, very upset. And they said that for days, he lost his senses. He could not hear. He could not see for many days. He was so sad and sorrow. Imagine a person, how sad a person is, that he was so close to meet Prophet ﷺ, and then he is not going to have this opportunity now until the day of judgment, as such in that case, in this world. So he was so sad and sorrow that he lost his senses, they say. And for days and days he was fell ill there. But after all, he said, okay, then I still go and visit Prophet ﷺ grave. Main wahan se jaake ziyarat karun. So he came at, and Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ was there as well, there in the grave. And he was a stranger, he was not an inhabitant of Medina the Munawwara. It was the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq ki khilafat ka zamana tha. And this, he came close to the grave of Rasulullah sallam, and he did not tell anything anyone. He said, "Assalamu alaykum ya Rasulullah," and then he said, "Salam to Prophet sallam." Then in one corner he sat and began to pray and weep. And Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala was just nearby. He said, "Assalamu alaykum, wa alaykum assalam." He said, "Where are you from?" Hazrat Abu Muslim said that I am from Yemen. He said, oh, you are from Yemen. I have heard actually that the false prophet who said that I am, we have heard this news that someone came, he threw someone in the fire and he came out alive out of the fire. You see, companion is saying to Hazrat Umar, he said, yes, there was a Muslim and Aswad Ransi threw him in fire and he came out of the fire. But he still did not tell, I am that person. Imagine. Ye hai tawazo, ye hai inkasari. He is still not Hazrat Umar. But Umar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کی فراست, the insight of Hazrat Umar. And he said, that I swear by the name of Allah, that it's not that you are that person. When he said this, he said, yes, I am Saw bin Abdullah. That was the name of Hazrat Abu Muslim Qurani, that I am the sovereign of that person. So Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ was so happy and he embraced him. He said, I thank Allah Azza wa Jal that he has given me opportunity to meet someone who have been dealt and who had experienced something like which the Prophet of Allah, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi Islam, experienced. He said, I am blessed with this vision and with the meeting of this person. And he was so happy. And he told Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. And he was so happy. And our other companions. So he stayed and his life is very wonderful as well. Then he went somewhere else in nearby. So aapki zindagi bhi bahut ala guzri hai Hazrat Abu Muslim Qalan. He was the great Hazrat, like Hazrat Uwais Karni, Jazakallahu Ta'ala. He was also a great tabi. That even companions actually wish to see him. They cannot aap door hai, You have not been in the time of Rasulullah sallam. 14 centuries ho gaya. If you put right your motives and your actions and your deeds and practices now, even now actually you will come so close to Allah Azza wa Jal that Rasulullah said on the Day of Judgment there will be some people that even companions and even shuhada and other siddiqeen, they will actually wish that they will in their place. There's such status they will have. And Rasulullah said in one hadith that those people who are the last days of my ummah who will act upon my sunnah, they will get reward of 50 shuhada. And the companion asked, Ya Rasulullah, 50 shuhada amongst us or 50 shuhada amongst them? The reward of 50 shuhada, like now people are martyred, normal shuhada, or 50 companions being martyred? And Rasulullah said, no, 50 companions being martyred. The reward of 50 companions being martyred. So Hazrat Abu Muslim Khazani, rahmatullah alayhi, he came back and he stayed in Madinatul Munawwara and he learned from other companions and he stayed with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Hazrat Umar told him that, do you know what has happened after you to Aswad al-Ansi? He said, no. He said, his followers killed him. His own followers, they killed him. So he was also one of the few first people to claim prophethood after Rasulullah sallam. But in the time of Prophet sallam, he came. So this is what is they are referring to, Hazrat Urwa is saying, that these people of Yemen, they became kuffar and they became disbeliever because of they belittled Hazrat Usama bin Zaid, a Muslim. And they called him such a name at least. Inshallah we'll finish, we'll continue, read some other hadith on the respect and honor of a Muslim and tawadu and sorry. If you want to ask anything, really you can. We baat pushni hai to pushni. So the message in all of that is actually Muslims, some Muslims have died. Some Muslims will come after you have died. But you have this blessed opportunity, you are sitting next to you, there is a Muslim sitting. In your locality, a Muslim living. Aap unka ihtiram, respect and honor them for Allah, you can actually, inshallah, achieve great actually upliftment and great elevation in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musliman ka bade ka ihtiram kare, bohut zyada. Chote ka jo hai us par shafqat, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine how Prophet sallallahu behavior was with Hazrat Usama. By Hazrat Aisha was hesitant to clean his nose, but Prophet sallallahu with all his blessed fragrant actually hands, kisi khushbu aati thi, any companion who touched the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for years and years the fragrance was coming out of even the companion's hand. Itna khushbu. And how blessed was this little child. And Rasulullah blessed him also, that he was 18 years old when Prophet passed away, and he made him a commander of an army. You see, commander of an army. Even Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was actually a soldier in that army. He made a commander of that army. And Prophet sent him for a jihad. Aap 17-18 saal ki umar mein bhi yani sipa salar the. So you are such a wonderful person. So this was the army where when Prophet passed away and he ordered Hazrat Usama to go, Hazrat Umar said that because now people are becoming apostates and Hazrat in Yemen also someone has claimed prophethood and Musalma Kazab is also asking, saying I am prophet. So at that time, we should call the Muslims, if we send all our army to somewhere else in another country to fight and do jihad, our center will be weak. Our Madinah to Manawara will become weak and there are people becoming apostates and other things happening and they will invade us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent that instructed that this army should go. And as Umar said, now Prophet has passed away, we should call it back. It was near Madinah to Munawwara. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said Hazrat Umar, that the army and the group which Rasulullah sallallahu has said, sent and has instructed that they should go, they will go, even though dogs come into Madinatul Munawwara and they eat the flesh of Abu Bakr, I don't care. But Prophet ﷺ has instructed that has to be fulfilled. This is the status of Sunnah in the sight of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. It was not a personal command for him, but the value of the name, or you may say the instruction, or the call, or the saying of Prophet ﷺ was such. So, aapne farmaya, agar Madine mein koi bhi na rahe, people invade and dogs come, kutte aaye aur Abu Bakr ka gosht kha jaye, still I don't care. But Prophet ﷺ has said that must happen first. So, aapne sari army bhej diya, aapne farmaya, koi isko lashkar ko, this army, it will not be stopped. We will defend Madina, hum yahan rahe. To ye, isliye Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq ka status bhi bahut aala tha. This is not happening with out of nothing, that you are sitting in the comfort of your house and saying that you are the most blessed person after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this time. There is sacrifice required. A sacrifice required? How? Just practicing the deen of Allah azza wa jal. Living in the society by manifesting the commands and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his blessing. Wo ek command thi, and it was not that Prophet never said that even if I die, still this army should go. He never. That's why Hazrat Umar said that there is a flexibility in there. So even in optional, something like, you see, optional sunnah, for example, instruction, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said no. So bhai, nahi, koi nahi ho sakta. Farmaya ke Madina ke bhi aurte reh rahi hain. In the city of Madina, there are women living. People, army invades, our women become dishonored. We become eaten. Still, on one command of Prophet ﷺ, it all should be sacrificed. So, my Prophet ﷺ ke ek hukum pe har cheez qurban ho jaye. The great, what is more honorable than the command of Rasulullah ﷺ? So, my ke, haan, aurton ki bahut zyada izzat hai. They are sahabiyat. We are companions. We have a great honor. But our honor is nothing when compared to the command of Rasulullah ﷺ. وہ آپ ہی کا حکم ہے. اس لیے میں کہتا ہوں کہ ڈو ناٹ گیو اینی ویلیو اور ایون تھوٹ دیٹ سم ون سیز یو آر آن دا دین آف اسلام اور یو آر فالوئنگ یو ہیو کیپٹ اے بیئر دیٹ وٹ ادرز ول سے اور یو آر ایکٹنگ اپن ادر سننا وٹ ادرز ول سے یو سینگ دیٹ یو آر ایکٹنگ اپن دا کمانڈ آف پروفیسر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ ان دیٹ کمانڈ یو آر ڈس آنرڈ وٹ ایور ہیپنس ٹو یو یو آر تھرون اسٹونز ایٹ دیم یو شوڈ ایکچولی tolerate as actually people become happy when the flowers are thrown at them, that you are doing it for Allah and actually for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is a blessed thing. And inshallah, that much sacrifice is not required now. Aap to thodi si aap mehnat karni hai inshallah. Look at this, the Sikh, wo keh rahe hamare temple ki beizzati ho gayi hai. Nothing has happened in the temple. That the play have been played and it has mention of temple, so, and that someone is stealing something, slippers from the temple, things like this, and someone is being sexually abused. They are saying, and they are wo apna wahan jaake julus nikal rahe hain, they are doing a procession, they are protesting, the fighting with the police, or not fighting, but they are saying that this is a dishonor to our religion. Woe unto me and shame on me, that if I say that I follow Sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people will say. Unko nahi sharm aati dekhe. Unka jo, how is it comparable? The Guru Nanak and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can't even compare them. Wo Guru Nanak ko follow karke daadi rakh rahe hain, itni badi daadi rakhi hai. And they never afraid going into the police, going into the army, or living in the society, working in the society. مجھ میں کون سا وہ شیطان مجھے بڑا دس مینس تو بھائی دیر از ہپوکریسی ان می. میں صحیح مسلمان ہی نہیں ہوا ابھی طرح, ایمان ہی نہیں صحیح طرح. دیٹ از وائی دیٹ سم ون سیز اے پروسٹیٹیوٹ مائٹ سے یو ڈونٹ لک گڈ ان مائی آئی, دیٹ سے آئی بیٹر چینج مائی سیلف. آئی ایکچولی ایز یو نو ڈرائیو اے ٹیکسی اینڈ آئی ڈراپڈ a person somewhere, and there was a prostitute woman standing there. And she said that, I want to phone and give me some change that he stand to this person who was in the, like sitting in a taxi. He said, go away from here. And he used some not good words about her. He said, go off. Don't want to know you. So she was only asking money for change. Said that, give me 10, 20, 30 pence. I have change pennies, and you give me 30, 40 pence, and 10 pence, and 20 pence. And she became so angry, and she said, you better watch your back, because I live around there, and my job is better than you. What do you do? So she even challenged him. He said, my job is better than you. What do you do? And he said, go off. And she said, well, you better watch yourself. I also live around here, and etc., etc. Lekin usko sharam nahi, wo apni job, although whatever their belief is, I don't know. But she is doing a prostitution, selling her body. Like when she sees someone is just not giving her change, she is challenging and convincing him even, and making him at least just actually shut up by saying such things and portraying. They say, my job is better than you, you know, because I get this, how many hours you work, etc., etc. And he didn't want to listen, he went away. So then she asked me at least of change. So I basically gave him a change and he went away. But the matter what I'm saying, that it is shameful even to compare the Sikhs to actually the Islam. Because they have different religion, we have different religion. But I'm saying that they keep beard. Guru Nanak was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. And he lived in at that time. So he was following the Sunnah actually. He was following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam, where did the Sikhs? It's only 700-year-old religion. It's not very old. So he was following. He visited Baghdad. He went to Mecca. He visited Baghdad. The Sufiya, Guru Nanak. He was a Sufi type person. So he was inviting them to Islam, but he passed away before he completed the message. So he brought them back to Tawheed. They were Hindus believing in millions God, and he brought them to believe in one God. Sikhs jo hai wo ek hi khuda ko mante hain, and their beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very similar to the Islamic beliefs, very close to them if you read the books of their books. Now he was yet to bring them towards believing in the messenger of Allah, and he died. So they were left in the way. They have got the Tawheed, but they have not got the Risala. So they are still out of Islam. But what I am saying to you, conveying to you message, that look at them, they are saying about Guru Nanak has said, our temple is dishonored, etc. What is temple? What is mosque compared to the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sunnah? That was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said regarding the army of Hazrat Usama bin Zaid. So, jin logon ka itna ihtiram, such value in the heart of those people who will be our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will be honored in this world in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will get blessing, they will get spiritual blessing. Unko Allah pak dunya akhirat unpe Allah pak subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of his mercy. And what for them, heavens and glories of heaven is actually not that much valuable, because these people are the lovers, and they have actually given themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the life of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi as well. As you have heard, our elder, honorable elder person was doing a qasida praising him. Waqi zindagi se tarah, if you read his teachings. So all these people, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, and Hazrat Mainuddin Chishti, Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, all these people you hear, or the companions, they were very steadfast on this matter. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, who was the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala himself, and he was very strict on Sunnah, but once he said something which was not right, which about a companion, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that respect my companion. Aap se samay ke mere companions ke bare mein beside good, don't say anything beside them, be good about my companion. Because you should know who they are, companions. Kaun hai? They are attributed, they are the Murideen, they are disciple of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani. No, they are disciple of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wo aapke murid hain, aapke jo hain, shagird hain. They are not normal people. And Rasulullah said that my companions, ye sitaron ki manand hain. They are like stars. He did not say like a sun. He did not say like a moon. Sun to din mein bhi roshni deta hai. There is so much light in the and the star. Why? Because the stars are used for guidance. Stars are used for guidance. People who are lost in the sea, are lost on the land. Sun and does not help in that way, like stars help. In ancient time, people used to travel by knowing the stars. Still, if you ask your granddad, they will know that they used to even know times according to the stars, that this star has risen, and this time of tahajjud has come, and the time of this star has risen. Now actually there's fajr time beginning, etc., etc. So after this, I say, "Sitaru ki manad," meaning anyone from America, anyone you follow amongst them, you will achieve salvation. Hadayat yafta ho jayega, kisi bhi sahabi ho. So Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ was there, and he heard that Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, he himself is companion, but he said, he heard that his son has said such and such thing about another companion. He said, "I have sworn by the name of Allah that I will cut his tongue. Main uski zuban kaat dunga." So when he heard Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar from other people, he was very fearful, because he knew his father and he was very strict in the matters of deen. So aapne dusre logon ko bheja, he sent other great companions like Hazrat Ali and other to intercede on his behalf, that forgive your son, that etc. This is so they came and they did safarish ke bhai, he is asking forgiveness and forgive. So tumne farmaya ke no, I have so and I will do cut his tongue, because until day of judgment people know that whoever says anything bad about any companion of the messenger of Allah, that is the punishment of his. But they insisted, so he actually forgave him. If they had not insisted so much, he said he definitely, literally would have cut his tongue off his own son. But it's sakht, ye hai Allah ka deen. It's not that my brother, my father ho gaya hai, that people become biased, he's from my country. There's no country, it's one world. And Rasulullah said that all of you are from Adam, and Adam was from dust. Simple. Ab koi kahe main India se hu, some say I am from Saudi Arabia, some say I am from actually Sri Lankan, I am from India, some say I am from Bangladesh. It is futile. Yes, for knowing it is that you are from Bangladesh, so that know that this brother whose name is Bashir, he is from Bangladesh. Bashir from Bangladesh. That's how people were known, like you know Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, Hazrat Bilal Habshi, he is known that he is from Habsha and Ethiopia. Hazrat Salman Farsi, that he once lived in Fars and Iran, jo hai, wo rahe. To is liye jo hai, ye cheeze hai. Not for any thing else whatsoever. And whoever does have these things in his mind and in behavior, this means that the elements of jahiliya and ignorance still exist in that person, and he should try to correct them. ये कोई बात पूछनी है तो पूछ लें बिफोर वी फिनिश. सो द मैसेज इज नथिंग एज दैट एक्चुअली रिस्पेक्टिंग द मुस्लिम सिटिंग नेक्स्ट टू यू इन लिविंग इन योर लोकेलिटी, हिज अमल इज विद हिम. इफ यू कैन से एनीथिंग गुड थिंग टू हिम, गुड. इफ ही इज बैड, ही विल आंसर टू अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला. यू आर आस्क्ड टू रिस्पेक्ट हिम एंड ऑनर हिम. And Rasulullah sallam so respected that even a Christian wafad, a Christian delegation came from Najran to do what? To do debate. Najran mein sahi wafad aaya, and aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne apni chadar mubarak jo hai wo unke liye phala di. Wo a Christian leader, Prophet spread his own chadar, wo unko bata ke main idhar baitho. To wo obviously non-Muslim tha. To aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke to akhlaq jo hai wo ye hain. And we, if we cannot respect Muslims, backbiting them, inshallah those topics are coming, backbiting them, dishonoring them, ridiculing them, obviously then nor we will get close to Allah, nor to the Messenger of Allah, and also disgraced in this world. How's that? JazakAllah. SubhanakAllahumma wa bihamdika.